I'm really excited about this next session with Damien. We're going to be talking about office tips and tricks, specifically within Office 365. And I really are looking forward to the session. So before we get into it, Damien, short introduction of who you are.
So my name's Damien. I'm one of the product team members here at Microsoft South Africa, focused around office and SMEs and education.
Right.
Brief history. You know, I've started in distribution where I was the product manager for Microsoft and some other hardware products at that time.
Right.
I joined one of the larger LSPs in the country focused around selling Microsoft solutions into SMEs at that point. And then about 4 years ago, I joined Microsoft as an Office 365 specialist.
Right.
And then 2 years ago, I was very fortunate enough to change roles and become the product manager for Office, which was great for me.
So it's awesome for us because you really know your stuff and we're learning a lot. And for the SMEs listening to the session, really Damien understands both SMEs and Office 365, and that's why it's a credible resource for us to listen to as we go ahead. Now, Office 365 tips and tricks. You know, there are many things, I suppose, that we don't know or that we just ignore or that we don't use. And there are very often new features and things that arrive in Office 365.
So I think one of the things that people think is that Word, Excel, and PowerPoint is just Word, Excel, and PowerPoint.
Yeah.
And you know, in the other videos we've covered that Office 365 is more than just Office on the desktop.
Yes.
But for this session, we're going to focus on those Office clients and what specifically we can do with them. But with a cloud service like Office 365, what it allows me to do is to stay on top, right? Being able to deliver new services monthly or quarterly or whenever you want them. And I can bring out new features at any time, which means the Word that you had 3 years ago is so not the Word that we have today.
Yes.
And I think what often happens is when you use a tool every day, you use that tool as you know it.
Mm.
And I think today what I'm going to show is just a couple of things that might make you think about how do I change some of that?
Mm.
I'm not going to show you everything. I'm going to show you some. I'm going to prompt you in the right direction for you guys to go and do some
stuff. But it's so true. We in retail. I have retail background. We used to have a term called store blindness. If you are in the store or walk the floor for too long, you become blind. And it's as you said, right? So there's a blindness that comes if you use the same tool for many years. So and very often it would ask me something like, "Do you want to learn about this?" And I just say, "No, let's get on with it."
If we think about what we do with those tools, we complete an action, right? We start to do something and we go and do it, and we often try and do it as quick as possible.
Yes, yes.
But that quick as possible becomes the quickest possible as I know.
Exactly.
Perhaps my quick is quicker than your quick.
Exactly.
And so those who tend to stay up to date find new fancy things that are hidden behind the cracks and all that wonderful stuff. And I'm hoping today what we'll cover is just some things to start thinking about what do I need to be doing with Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and Outlook, and how do I change the way I do some of this stuff.
Absolutely love it. So let's take a tour, right? So we've got Word, PowerPoint,
and Excel. So take a tour is a great, great feature that is included in all my products of Word, Excel, and PowerPoint specifically. And what it allows you to do is open Word, Excel, PowerPoint, click on that little red box that we've got there, which is Take a Tour, and it opens relevant to that particular product. So in Word, it opens a Word document with about 10 things that it asks you to go and do.
Okay.
In Excel, it's got 5 different sheets open for you to do 5 different actions. And PowerPoint, once again, it's multiple sheets and all this wonderful stuff. And we use Take a Tour to introduce users to new features inside of Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. So for instance, in Word, we might introduce you to new features that enable you to do something quicker than it was in the past.
Yeah.
How to bold, how to underline, how to strike, all that kind of stuff. Really get to grips to how to use that product from, you know, the way we intended it to be used. With Excel, you know, the Take the Tour in Excel, we included the new charts that we included and ways to use it and ways to build it out. So really, Take a Tour is a fundamental step for everyone to take right at the beginning. Even if you're new to Office or you're not new to Office, do it once. You might never need to do it again, but just expose yourself to what else is out there around what I can do in Word, what I can do in Excel, what I can do in PowerPoint.
Okay.
It's a great feature. I make sure I do it at least once a year just to make sure I stay on top of stuff.
Yeah.
And often, I also said I deal with some education customers as well. When I go speak to schools, you know, I open Word, I click on Take a Tour, and I let the students go through that experience just to kind of brush up on that knowledge.
Okay. And how often are the updates?
So the Take a Tour itself is a template that we've created inside of Office 365 and Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. It's one that's pushed down from us.
Okay.
With Office 365, the desktop applications, we do make an update every 30 days to the service. Okay. And it can be as bold as changing the whole color scheme, or it can be as minor as changing a capital B to a small b. But we keep on trying to deliver new services to those things, where we think about introducing new features and functions. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we don't change the way the users are interacting. Yeah. Because the biggest thing my users tell me and my customers tells me is, the reason I'm on Office 2010 is because I know it, I know how to use it, I don't want to change. And if I go to something else, it's going to look different, it's going to feel different. What we have with Office 365 is a way to always stay up to date with my Office client. So I never have to redeploy, I never have to re-image, do all that wonderful stuff.
Exactly. You know, Damien, I experienced this just yesterday. I was building out a PowerPoint deck, and I had to get some graphs of Excel, and there are new graphs, as you've just mentioned. And it didn't feel foreign to me. So as I was saying, okay, generate graph or insert graph, it gave me additional options. And I actually did a double take to say, oh, wow, there are some new graphs. So it was in a way that I could consume it easily.
Well, that's the whole idea, right? UI is very important for users. They don't want to feel like they have to relearn every time they want to use a platform. But if we can sneak in a couple of new features here, like a new graph, a new animation on PowerPoint, you know, new functions and features. Like just the other day, we introduced something called Design View inside of PowerPoint. What we know is not everyone's comfortable using PowerPoint with all the fancy design marks and stuff. So we created a design engine inside of PowerPoint that if you drag and drop a photo into it, it'll pop out from the side and it'll say, hey, we think you should make this presentation look like this based on the pictures that you've included. Just these kind of little things that start to change the way we interact.
That's absolutely awesome. Okay, so take a tour. SMEs, make sure that you don't just, when you go open Excel or PowerPoint or Word, this is the deck, the screen you get, and you just go to the file, go and take a tour and see what there is to learn. Fantastic, Damien. So take a tour, I now understand. So now the tell me.
So what we found with all these new features, and as you'll see on the screen today, this was actually screen recorded on my device as I was building this deck for this conversation. And you'll see at the top bar there, what we have is this new, almost like widget experience called Tell Me. But what's really critical about Tell Me is that it's accessible to everything inside of the Office suite. So if you want to know how to insert a picture, you can just type insert picture. And instead of giving you a how-to guide, it'll actually go and insert the picture for you. Or if you want to figure out what something means, you can type it in there, you can click on help, you can hit on all that wonderful stuff, how to undo and all that wonderful. So it's an engine. Do you remember Clippy? So everyone, I think, remembers Clippy as this wonderful, annoyingly little thing in the bottom right hand corner. I personally was a big fan of Clippy. I used to love double clicking on him when I was a kid. And so we've almost brought Clippy back to a degree where Clippy's come back, but Clippy's no longer just a how-to guide. Clippy is an actual actionable item for you.
Okay.
Anything you want to know inside it, you type it into that bar, whether it's how to insert a picture, how to change the design, how to change font, how to, you know, what is mode in Excel. You can type it in there and it'll start to present all the results of those questions to you and give you the ability to click on them and action that item at the same time. Which means if you learn nothing else from this video, that tell me is the most important thing you need to do. If you want to know how to do something in Word, Excel, PowerPoint, or Outlook, you click on the tell me bar and you tell it what you want it to do. It will then go and do it for you.
Wow. You know, you have just destroyed many excuses for people who say they don't know how.
I seem to be doing this a lot today. Sorry for
that. Wow, that is absolutely amazing. Some other tips, Outlook tips.
So Word, Excel, and PowerPoint are phenomenal tools. And I think Outlook is integral to any business as it comes to email management. But what I still find is when I speak to customers around how they're engaging with Outlook, I get some weird kind of, didn't know I could do that, why are you doing that kind of stuff. And the first one I want to start with is conversation view. Now this might sound silly, but traditionally when I go and speak to a smaller business or a larger business, depends how long the person's been using a computer. I open their mail and the first thing I see is A, B, C, D, you know, that from, and the mail is sorted in that from experience. And I'm trying to think to myself, that's not the way they interact, right? If that's comfortable for them, I'm not gonna try and change their world. But if you think about the phone you have and the phone I have, all my new mail is right at the top. And generally my mail is grouped with the other mail around that same conversation, right? If it's been an email thread, it's all together. I'm not having to bounce between mails. So if you didn't know, you can click on the little tab there, as you're seeing with my mouse, and you can click on date and conversation, which allows us to say, group my mail by date, so newest mail first, and then by conversation to bring all the other mails together. So that when I'm looking at this particular mail, I can make sure I'm looking at the last mail in that conversation. I can make sure I'm looking at the most relevant information. It sounds silly, but conversation view changes the way we interact with mail.
Yes.
But the biggest thing is we're so comfortable with it already subconsciously because it's how we do it on our phones.
Exactly.
So we're just bringing that experience into the desktop to make sure that people have the same kind of interaction in UI.
There's also a functionality that I saw on Outlook that I used the other day. And I must be honest, when I pressed it and my mails were 200 less, I've panicked. It's called Clean Mailbox or Cleanup.
Yes, so there's a Mailbox Cleanup. For those who've never done a Mailbox Cleanup, it can be a little scary.
Yeah.
And so what Mailbox Cleanup will do was it'll look at all the content in your mailbox.
Right.
And will help understand where there are duplications of mail. So for instance, if you and I are sharing a mail thread.
Okay.
And we include someone else in that mail thread. And now we've got the same mail thread. We're all replying in the same kind of time. What often happens is we have 40 mails.
Yes, but one topic.
But one topic, and the only relevant one is the very last one because it has all the rest of the content in it.
Okay.
So what Mailbox Cleanup will do is go and grab that rest of the content and literally throw it away, right? Into the recycle bin.
And I don't have to panic that it's thrown the wrong thing away, right?
No, it's using its algorithms and everything else to do what it needs to do. But it essentially cleans up the space in the mailbox and allows you to just have the recent and most important content.
Okay.
If there are things like attachments on the older mails, it'll keep that relevant one.
Okay.
So it's only where it sees that there's 40 emails, 39 of them are exactly the same, only with the one new line at the top. We only need to keep the new line. It does that.
Okay. So for the employee who I gave this trick to and who said that your mail's now gone, it's not true. Damien said it's not true, right?
the other thing to think about and the other thing that you'll start to see there, and it's a wonderful thing, is called Ignore Conversation.
Yes, so I saw that, yes.
All of us have been exposed to this where we send a mail to everyone or you've been sent a mail that you're on part of 300 other people on that email and then everyone replies all, replies all, replies all. And then suddenly you have 60 emails about a topic that is irrelevant to you or you've already given your input and you no longer need to. There's a wonderful little button there just above the mailbox cleanup called Ignore Conversation.
Okay.
And what Ignore Conversation will do is move all that content automatically to the recycle bin.
Wow.
So when it arrives, it won't even come into your inbox, it'll automatically move it across to your recycle bin. You do stand at risk, obviously, you know, if someone's called you out. But what it does do is prevent all that future mail from that conversation landing up if you feel you've already done everything with that conversation.
Fabulous. Okay, we had a similar example at our office park where our offices are about confirm your parking number. And I was on a mail trail.
Exactly.
You've
confirmed
that.
Yours.
Exactly.
You don't need to know everyone else's.
100%.
Might as well ignore the rest of the conversation.
Okay, cool. Right. So that's conversation view. Rules and quick steps.
So I live by my rules and quick steps inside of Outlook because I get a lot of email.
Yeah.
Right. I get a tremendous amount of email from customers, from partners, from internal people at Microsoft. And what I do with my rules, and those are actually mine that you'll see on the screen come up, is I organize my mail into three things for me from a quick step perspective.
Right.
So I have things that I need action, I have things that I have actioned, and I have things to read at a later time.
Right.
And so I sort all my mail out by simply clicking Shift, Control, and 1. It automatically does all of those. Or you'll see at the top of the screen, you've actually got the little buttons for the quick steps that you can click on. So it's just a nice way, instead of dragging and dropping your mail somewhere else all the time when you're done with something, you can click that quick step to do some stuff. My one I love the most is my to be actioned quick step.
Yes.
So as mail comes in, sometimes you can't deal with it
right
then and
away.
Then. Or it's going to take a bit of time and you need to sit down and do it. So mine is Control Shift 2. And what Control Shift 2 will do for me, it'll go and create a task, assign it to tomorrow, and keep a copy of that mail assigned to that task.
So automatically. Why did you set up
Control Shift 2, and it takes it out of my inbox, moves it to a specific folder so it's not cluttering up my inbox. It assigns a task on the right-hand side, and I do all of that with Control-Shift 2. There's a word called triaging. I triage my mail a lot because I get a lot of mail. It just makes my life so much simpler. Because when your mailbox is empty, you feel better.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Everyone feels better when their mailbox is empty.
Yeah.
But what I now have is an empty mailbox and a list of tasks and actions for me to go and complete. That means I can live by my tasks and actions and manage my mail when I want to.
That is amazing.
The other side of quick actions is rules. So inside of a mailbox, you can set up your own rules. So for instance, every mail that I receive from you, I can move to a specific folder.
Yes.
Or when I get a mail about a certain subject, I can forward it on to someone else.
Yes.
Or when I get CC'd, I can move it to a folder that's not high priority for me. And rules are, I think, also essential to managing that inbox that can get out of hand.
Yeah.
Right? If you know you have a customer that emails you, you want to sort that out, you can create a rule in Outlook that automatically moves all mail from that customer to a specific own folder.
Right.
Just around managing that email engagement, that experience.
Right.
As I said, happy mailbox, happy life.
Exactly.
I think it's incredible. And so managing that mailbox experience between Quickstep and rules, phenomenal.
I know that it's not quite on script, but I want to ask the question anyway because you know your stuff so well. So once you've dealt with an email,
yes,
the old way we used to do it, we used to create folders and then move these mails. What tips have you got there?
So when you were using a service like Office 365, because you have a 50 gig mailbox and perhaps an unlimited archive, there's no reasons to go and create those old PSTs like we used to with folders. So I literally have one folder.
Right.
It's called completed.
Right.
And once I'm done with a task or an action or an email, it gets moved there with Control Shift 1. Right. Okay. So once I've read something, Control Shift 1, which is my quick step for action.
Right.
Once I've done it, it goes to my archive. It stays there, and or you know my action folder, which is essentially under another folder called archived.
Yeah.
And it's done. I can access it from my phone. I can access because it's there. It's on my mail server. It's not necessarily on my device because I don't need to keep mail with me.
Of course.
And what I do is I keep some of it so it's recent.
Okay.
I don't have a big folder structure, I'll be honest, because I'm quite good at using the things like the search tools and tips that you have inside that experience.
Yes,
so for those who don't know, the search bar above all your mail is incredibly powerful
at
identifying certain things. So if I type from exclamation mark somebody, or sorry, from colon somebody, it'll find me all the relevant mail from that particular person.
Mm.
I can then type in a keyword. I can then type in things like has attachment. I can do all that one stuff, which allows me to narrow down my mail.
Mm.
So once I've read something and I've understood it and I've completed it, I just move it to that folder. And when I need to go look for it again, I can look around those keywords or from that person with the attachments. It's generally got something, it took a bit of time. Right, to get to the way that flows for you. And I think everyone's mail experience is specific to them.
Yeah.
But I think for me, that's what I find works. I have an action folder, a to-be action folder, a personal folder, and then I have a Twitter folder.
Yeah.
But the Twitter folder is only because I have a flow that I mentioned in my previous video that sends me all the flows around specific hashtags.
Okay. But that's great advice you're giving, Damien. I think linking that also to your previous comment around don't do things the old way because that's how you've done it before.
Exactly.
Find new ways of doing it. Okay, so that's rules and quick steps. And then store and add-ins.
So I mentioned in my previous video, but just like we have a store in Office 365, I also have an Office store.
Yeah.
And inside of my Office store, all the applications and add-ins for things like Outlook and Excel and all those wonderful things. And as an SME, you have the ability to go and develop an application.
Mm.
Perhaps you have a quick flow or something that you want to develop and publish it to the store.
Mm.
And once again, create that monetary market for you to go and address and go and create. So the store is essential. And I ask everyone to go and view stuff that's in there. There's some great applications in there, not only Microsoft ones, but other applications that are there. And once the store is downloaded from there, in my mail, you'll see I have add-ins. I have add-ins from like Wunderlist and Boomerang and Planner that simplify my engagement with that mail into that particular application. So for instance, Boomerang is a great one. It's not a Microsoft product, but what it allows me to do is it allows me to set a policy that when I sent this mail, remind me in a couple of days to follow up on this mail. Because what tasks are really good at doing is following up once I've got something.
Yes.
But if I'm sending something out to someone, I want to think about how do I get reminded.
Yeah.
So in the old age of a Boomerang coming back to you, it simply just reminds you to follow up and that kind of stuff. Wunderlist automatically takes this mail and goes to assign it to a task for myself. I've also got Planner, which associates it with the task inside of Planner. And they're just add-ins that I use every day, and I thought it would be a great tip for everyone.
And then it's an automatic update. Once you've got those add-ins in.
Once you've got the add-ins in, they stay up to date, they stay present, and they always continue to work.
Fascinating. We have no excuse not to be productive, unfortunately. I think that's what you're telling us. Okay.
So the last thing I wanted to say, and I snuck the slide in there, so I'm sorry, is that traditionally what people think when they hear Office is they hear Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook. And although that is correct, it's not just Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook. It can be so much more. It can be things like OneNote. It can be Publisher. It can be Sway that we mentioned and we talked about. It can be Access. And then we have this whole suite of documents, of content and Word applications and everything that I've been using. And we need to think about How do we bring that all together? And that's what our tool with OneDrive does. It stores in one central location, and each one of those applications, things like Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, can connect back to those services and bring my latest experience to there. And you'll see when we started talking about the take a tour, there was the red, the green, and the purple. Red, orange, and green on the left-hand side.
Yes.
It was blanked out because it was my personal one, so I blanked them all out. But all my recent documents would be in there, whether they were used on a laptop, a phone, and a client. And it brings it all together as a simple experience. So start to think about not just Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and Outlook. Think about OneNote. Think about Sway. Think about Publisher. Think about Access.
Yeah.
Most importantly, think about how we get a control of that with something like OneDrive.
That is fascinating. Thank you, Damien. Links and resources. The resources that we can send our SMEs to if they want to read more on this.
So there's some great content on a platform like YouTube of our Office Videos channel.
Yes.
You can go to YouTube, type Office Videos, and we're always updating stuff there around what's new in August for Office. What tips and tricks do we have?
Okay.
And it's a great resource to go there. But then for the resource around how do I make actions and how do I make use of everything we've spoken about over the three videos, office.com/business is essential, right?
Yes.
That'll take you there. You can start a free trial. You can do all, you see the pricing and all that wonderful stuff in that one location. The Microsoft CIE experience will allow you to see everything as we've spoken about it today on microsoftcie.com. It will allow you to see a day in the life of a Microsoft employee.
Right.
How do we use Outlook? How do we use Sway? How do we use PowerPoint? How do we use Skype for Business to do meetings and all that wonderful stuff? And then the last one is my most favorite, which is FastTrack.
Yes.
Office 365 is going to be a journey for you as a business. And we want to make sure we help you along that journey. And so we created the FastTrack experience so that you can utilize, you can bring your partner into it, you can create deployment plans, you can do all that kind of stuff to make sure that when you invest in our platform, that you get the most out of that investment.
That is absolutely fantastic. So SMEs, if you are looking at Office 365, really go to fasttrack.office.com. It sounds incredible. It sounds like there's almost a how to get this done and not be overwhelmed with the task of getting it done.
Absolutely.
So it's been an absolute pleasure, Damien, to have you in studio. Looking forward to our next recording very shortly, very soon, I would imagine. And for SMEs, just to make sure that you have seen all three Office 365 videos, there's one on an introduction on Office 365 with Damien. There is one on scale-up and startup. So if you're a startup or a scale-up versus a scale-up, and then this one on tips and tricks, make sure to watch the other two if you have not yet. Until next time. Thank you, Damien.
Thank
Goodbye.
You. Says bye.